The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
How many of you know that this song actually exists? Aurora has an anthem, a theme song. I'm not making it up. This is true. Billy Thorpe knows these things. Showing those motels, rundown bars, the homeless camps. Colfax Avenue, Aurora. It sounds like the sun will come out tomorrow. This spins out of the story. But let me reset this thing. We got callers ready to go. Morning, everybody. On a Thursday, Billy Thorpe finds the Aurora theme song. We live in Aurora here on 710 KNUS, September the 16th, 2021. Sunny, hot, 93, and then 82 tomorrow. On Saturday, 892 degrees. And the homeless camp continues to move closer to the radio station. So we're going to shoot episode 3 of The Shoot today. You can still watch the others. MC went on a run of September the 26th. A bunch of folks lined up to come on. Last night in my reading, I find out that they're running the civics contest for children to rewrite the national anthem, to write their own national anthems. And it's just, there's a purpose for it. Sing your own anthem. Represent your values and your visions for your community and your country. And, of course, Francis Scott Key gets thrown out the trash, thrown out the window into the trash bucket. We got a good caller online. Well, what do you want to do, Billy? You want to, we'll just jump back to the caller. That's only fair. Jay waited. We were talking about Wells, H.G. Wells, yeah. And the Time Machine and the Morlocks and the Eloys. And go ahead, pick it up from there.
Well, the other book that I enjoy is Fahrenheit 451 in the movie, because I think we're there. You remember Julie Christie used to look at the screen and tell her what to do? Like, it just came on naturally.
But remember, I was lucky enough in this career that I've been very lucky in to meet Ray Bradbury. And Fahrenheit 451 is, remember, the Farm and Burn books.
That's right.
Last week I was seeing where they're burning books again in this country.
That's right.
But so we talked about it. Television was called The Family. This book sticks me. And you know what? If you ever watch religious television, they did a great job with the idea of a family. There always be like Paul and Jan, you know, the mommy and daddy. Mm-hmm. And you have even now, say in local television, although it's been so diminished. It used to be mommy and daddy, Adele Arakawa and Ed Sardella. Then you have the crazy, the crazy kid who does the sports. Remember, sportscasters were always a button. Then you had like an odd uncle that did the weather. And I'm not making this up. And then you had like the brave little kids that you could put out on the highway when it snowed, and they have their little parkas on and the call letters. And they portrayed the family. The religious TV had it down, where they sit in a family setting, and mom and dad would sit in the center, and then you have the crazy uncle who knew the Bible sitting over here, and the funny little kids, and the kids that could sing, and you created the family. Well, Bradbury called it The Family, and if you remember, it was so tuned in with skills that we probably have today that when she turned on the family, it knew her. It knew her.
I knew her.
And it talked.
It knew what she wanted, like YouTube. Just like YouTube knows what you want to watch.
And it knew. Yeah, exactly. But it knew how to talk to her. Talk to her. And it would talk to her. And
very, very serious. Listen, when you found a book, so you had a book, you possessed a book, which was illegal. Hmm. There was a drop box where you could drop it anonymously.
Yes.
That's similar to today. Oh, my gosh.
You dropped a dime. Sure.
That's right.
And remember, he finds the bookman.
Remember the woman that went down in flames in her house? She refused to give the books up.
Yeah,
so they burned her house down with her in it. So how about A Clockwork Orange. Boy, aren't we there today?
The Droogies.
Downtown Denver.
The Droogies.
Oh, my gosh.
The Droogies. And, you know, that whole idea of the Droogies comes from they were visiting the Soviet Union, and these Soviet street punks came to the window, and they spoke a Droogie language, and they leaned on the glass and made faces, and they had the hats, and they scared people. And those were the models for the Droogies. It came out of, I think it came out of Moscow.
With steel cars, go real fast down the road,
yeah.
and then break into somebody's house mm-hmm. and do horrible things to the family.
Yeah.
And then they go to the milk bar. Remember that?
Oh, of course. How about? And I was talking to somebody. Did you ever read Helter Skelter?
Of course.
When Bugliosi, when they played that game called the Creepy Crawlies. And they'd get into people's houses in California and crawl along the floor at night. And the game was to reach up and touch their toe and then crawl back out. And they didn't, I mean, they killed the LaBiancos and they killed who they killed, but they were doing practices. And they dubbed it the Creepy Crawlies. And they'd
I was out there then, and that group was true evil.
Oh.
I do mean true evil from wherever that is.
Charlie Manson.
I mean, he was, I think, possessed. What they did to that young model.
He's such a
pregnant woman.
What was her name? She was
Tate.
Yeah, sure. Are they?
Yeah.
And she? No, I mean what?
Sharon Tate.
But they
did
Sharon Tate. They were going to go kill other people,
well,
and they were after Doris Day's son. And remember what that did to Brian Wilson? What it did to the Beach Boys? They picked him up. Picked him up hitchhiking. Remember they picked Charlie up hitchhiking.
You talk about a bad influence. Here's the Beach Boys going out making this great music, and then all of a sudden the devil's picked up.
And then they ended up
literally.
Then Brian Wilson built a. It's been a long time since I remember this, but there's a book called Heroes and Villains. It's one of the best rock and roll books ever. The story of the Beach Boys, and it's called Heroes and Villains. Their father was just such a horrible person, but I think Brian Wilson ended up building a sandbox, but actually built a beach in his own bedroom.
I saw pictures of it.
He was so crazy, yeah. And they were all afraid of Charlie, and no one knew. No one knew who Charlie. You remember when Bugliosi. And Charlie used to try and stop clocks and stuff. I mean, I talked to Bugliosi once about that, and it was like, you know, hey. And he said when Charlie was – and all those – Patricia Periwinkle? And what was the – they had that one – and they still think some of them are out there floating around, some family members. Tex Watson. There's a name. Tex.
People wonder why we have prisons. I mean, can you imagine if Charlie Manson
we were talking about that when Richard Pryor when they did Scared Straight.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm this huge Richard Pryor fan. And
yep.
Richard Pryor said they went into prison and Richard said he expected to find all these black warriors being held against their will, you know, and everything. And he said having lunch with some guy that killed six people or something, and Richard Pryor said, "Why'd you kill them people?" And the guy said, "Well, they were home, Rich." he, thank God, there's a prison, you know.
He was such, you know, he could not make his tapes. We used to listen to those in my 70 Charger when I was a kid, and those tapes were so vile in today's world.
Yeah.
He couldn't make them, but they were hilarious because
couldn't do it.
Chris Rock, you know, he was similar. He laid it. He still laid
couldn't
it
do
out.
It. Richard Pryor could work. Richard Pryor couldn't work, but
one more movie.
Watch.
Oh, go ahead. Omega Man. Tell me we're not there right now. Carlton Heston.
And that was all done. Those were all sci-fi things that were done before, too. And, I mean, the thing about those guys is they're just telling you what was around the corner.
They have some kind of clairvoyance to look into the future because
we're there right now. Yeah, Bradbury did.
And they have Portal.
Orwell really did. James,
huge fan.
Yeah, and Orwell, and now they're burning Orwell. Now Orwell's books.
Of course.
Of course.
Because he's talking about them. They don't like to be talked about. They don't need to be exposed.
So, dude, tell me, you're such a bright guy. Tell me what you do with this Kids in Ship civics contest urging children to write their own national anthem.
I'm just sad about all of it. You know, I used to stand before the flag and say the Pledge of Allegiance in fourth grade. And, you know, I'll tell you, I think there have been, unfortunately, they've been more successful than I thought they'd be. But I do think we're gaining some back. The critical race theory, the 1700 baloney about what, you know, we're, you know, slavery is still going on today. Go to Qatar, where we fought a war. Everybody is a slave except for the royalty. Everyone that lives there is oil money. They won't even open a door. When you go there, they can't even open their own door, their car door. They're driven where they go. So everybody is royalty in Qatar, and they bring slaves over from North Africa. Am I missing something here?
Oh, no.
Come on. It's the same thing as back in the days of Thomas Jefferson. Old Thomas Jefferson was a good guy. Great guy.
But he's not allowed to be a good guy now.
Well, not anymore, because they're painting him as such.
Yeah, indeed. So when you can control the past, and this is what Orwell knew, then you, and he wasn't coming up with this on his own. He was watching what had happened in the world. Remember when Orwell writes 1984, all he's doing is reversing the numbers of the year he's in. He's writing in 1948.
Okay.
So that's why he chooses 1984. He's already seen what the Nazis have done.
Yeah.
He's already seen what the Japanese have done, but he's principally looking at the Soviet Union.
That's right.
And that was it. And it was like they knew, and Orwell knew, and you can see Orwell again and again and again and again.
Yep, that's right.
And it just, you can just see, you see these repetitive moments in history, and no one seems to want to go along with it. But everything you say, I mean, everything you just spoke about is, you know, it's as we speak. Did you see that film where they reversed the it's called something Hollywood or, and it's, and it's about,
no.
They kill everybody in the Manson family. They put in flamethrowers and stuff. That's a great movie. They beat up Bruce Lee, you know. That stuff's great.
Bruce, we love Bruce Lee in school. Everybody want to be Bruce Lee.
Oh,
Even now. So I grew up in an area out there, and Walt Disney's granddaughter was my sister's best friend. So, first of all, Walt Disney and his brother, Roy, the greatest guys in the world. He started off with a train set in his backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Where Anaheim, giving kids rides, and he's just a very kind person. And what Eisen and the other people have done to that company is awful.
They're interesting.
I mean, today, yeah. They've changed everything, and, you know, the whole Disney routine. And I'll tell you, Annette Funicello, who you know.
Met her twice.
Well, they were our next door neighbors.
Oh, man.
So let me tell you about her sometimes. Unbelievable.
She's great.
But Walt wouldn't let her in all the movies and Elvis movies and everything wear anything but a one piece. Because
right.
when you're a Mouseketeer.
She told me that.
Yeah. Okay. So, really? So she is even better than you can imagine.
She's
on the
great.
Screen. Such
she
a
was,
genuinely nice person. And the way she passed away with the disease is horrible. However, he wouldn't let... He had a contract for life with Walt Disney at that time. So she had one-piece suits on. He always had a say, even though he wasn't involved with the movie, on the way she looked, because she was the face of Disney, like those other people. And
he knew... I met her twice. First time she came to town... she and Frankie Avalon, I met them. They did the radio show with us, and they had done a film called – I was just telling somebody the story. They had done a film called Back to the Beach. They were going to try and, you know, remake the beach films, and here they were older now, and they were going back to the beach. And she came with Avalon. Avalon was an ace. I mean, they were both – Annette Funicello was everything that you think and more.
Yeah,
Frankie
exactly.
Avalon, and they had handlers with them and everything, but Frankie Avalon – wanted to talk about Dick Clark, you know, he and the stuff that I geek out on, and you couldn't have. And then she came back again, and she had gone through a divorce, and she was married to a guy who was They raised horses. He was a horse trainer.
That's right.
And he was with her, and you could see something was wrong. I couldn't tell you that I knew, but she was still, I mean, so incredible. And I've told people, there's people that you're glad you have met, and there's people you wish you had never met, because you hold them in such esteem until you meet them, and you go, man, I wish I'd have never met you. I got to tell you something. We just talked about Ray Bradbury. Ray Bradbury was everything that you wanted and more.
He was so lucky.
He was Ray Bradbury. I mean, and because I geek and read, and he kind of shined to me because he knew, you know, I read Fahrenheit 451. I read, you know, all the stuff that he had written. And then we got off into talking about other sci-fi writers, and then we talked about Dune. We talked about Herbert's Dune, and he was a big fan of Dune, which is now coming out as a film. And
I'm a big fan of Dune.
I am too. I'm really a big fan of not the first book, and that was it for me.
First.
But we talked, and I'm sitting here talking to Ray Bradbury, and I remember being like 16 years old and reading Ray Bradbury.
Yeah, cracking those books.
Just not reading school books, but reading Ray Bradbury. And
well, you put the Ray Bradbury book inside of the school book so the teacher didn't know.
Well, no, I just didn't, you know, I just never paid attention to school, but I did.
Yeah.
But Ray Bradbury was, and I'm going, man, dude, you're Ray Bradbury. I had the same experience because I'm trying to write.
Yeah.
And you meet these people that are just so important to you in your life. And
you met Stephen King, right?
Oh, yeah. And he was great.
I mean, he was.
And the cool thing about Stephen King, then we've got a break in a second. Stephen King, there's a guy named Mick Garrison. I've known Mick 1,000 years, and Mick worked for Stephen. And they were making, according to Stephen, because he didn't like the Shining. So he called me up to say hi, and I didn't know Stephen King was up in Estes Park, because that's where they were shooting, and they called it the Overlook, but of course it's the Stanley. And so he said, Stephen likes the show. And so I take a chance, and I go, you think Stephen would like to do the radio show? And I'm thinking phoner, right? And you can hear him put his hand up and say, hey, Stephen. He said, yeah. He said, when you want us? And I said, tomorrow. He said, we'll be there. And so Stephen King came into the studio. First of all, Stephen King's a big guy. He's the tall guy. And Mick Garris. So we started to talk. And The Shining is a story of a man losing his sobriety. It's all the mystic, crazy stuff that goes with it. It's really about losing his sobriety. And so, we're sitting talking, and then the show was over, and Stephen King's a huge baseball fan. And at the time, it was Clear Channel, and they had purchased part of the Rockies. And so Clear Channel had a box. Anyhow, so Stephen King, we all went to the baseball game, and then he went over and sat in the box, the broadcast box and stuff. And just the best guy. And so we're just sitting there, show's over, and I copped to sobriety, and he kind of cops to it, and I knew it. I mean, it's just something inside of me knew it. And then we start talking about his stuff doesn't die, and his stuff comes back at you. And he was just, I mean, I'm telling you, for real, he was everything that you wanted him to be and more. And
I didn't meet him, but I lived in Estes Park, and my best friend was Scott Normally, and Frank owned the Stanley, his father.
Sure.
So sometime I'd love to talk to you about that on the air, because The Heaven Lives, we used to spend the night in the Stanley in the manor house, which is next door.
Yeah.
In that room, and I am pretty certain there's something going on in that room.
That was the second haunted house night we ever spent. We went to the Stanley. What's the room they were in, like 416 or... Where I stayed in that room, and
have you?
Oh yeah, oh sure, of course. But with him, we were just sitting there, and we talked about Salem's Lot, we talked about Cujo, and we talked about, you know, and my favorite book, of course, The Stand, and he would like trade with you. I mean, I wasn't like, oh no, but and then mm-hmm. and when she, and he liked to talk about his work, and a lot of guys, you know, kind of blow it off, but he genuinely liked to talk about his work. And
well, the staff that were there when he wrote the book, which I wasn't there then. I was in the early 80s. And actually, I used to listen to you guys, you and Alan Berg, Datsun truck.
Sure.
And to be honest with you, I remember exactly where I was. I was I-25 and Longmont exit. There used to be a breakfast joint, Del Camino. And I remember hearing when Alan Berg, what happened with him. But so this was in the 80s.
That's becoming
but
a
the
film.
The staff that was there. Yeah. Oh, wow.
It's becoming a movie. I'm the Kevin Flynn, and I've been more than approached about the film, and because I lived through it, and we'll see. We'll see what happens, but
Staff from the Stanley said that King locked himself in the room for 2 weeks and never left.
Never came out.
While he was writing the book. Yes,
wrote the book.
That's true.
He and his wife.
I mean, the bartender's still there. His name's not Lloyd, like in the book, but
your money's not good
here. Lived.
Your money's not good.
Yeah, you go up to the Stanley Bar as a kid. I'm 21 years old. I'm like, hey, Lloyd, let me have a martini. He's like, your money's not good here.
Your money's not good here.
But it was perfect.
Yeah, great line. No, I mean, all those guys, and that looking back on, I'm the luckiest guy in the universe to be able to keep this job and have it and keep it and. When Stephen King came in, and I went, and then everybody that was around us that day—I mean, Katie Monahan and Lee and all—he was just—he was just so good to everybody. And because some guys aren't. I mean, some guys are total heels, and you don't want to be around them. And but boy, he wasn't. He was the really good guy. And you get to meet like Bradbury. Bradbury was like, you know, he was thrilled that you had read him, and at the same time. He wanted to do other things. I mean, I kept pinching myself. You know, hey, I'm sitting here with Ray Bradbury, but we talked about 451, and we talked about everything that Bradbury's ever done. Mm. Take care of yourself. Thanks, man. A smile is a curve that sets everything straight. If you're not happy with your smile, the team at Twin Aspen Dental Center, a variety of procedures that have you smiling again in no time. Cosmetic dentistry is a catch-all. For porcelain veneers and bondings and crowns and teeth whitening. So whether you want some subtle changes or total makeovers, Dr. Brian Richter and now, of course, Dr. Snyder, helping achieve that perfect smile. They just do it right. Look, if you're unsure which cosmetic dentistry procedure is right, make the appointment. Twin Aspen's brand new location, Stroh Road in front of the Lehman Academy in Parker. Twin Aspen Dental Center, fall is in the air. Get your tephesis fixed. 303-841-7466, 303-841-7466, TwinAspenDentalCenter.com, TwinAspenDentalCenter.com. Dancing in the Streets, Martha Reeves and the Fabulous Vandellas. 710 KNUS, Denver Stock Station, good morning. Open line, so it's catch as catch can, been good calls. Sunny and hot, 93, 82, cooler a little bit tomorrow. The plan tomorrow is after the radio show, no gym, get on a motorcycle and ride with your friends. And tomorrow will be one of those great early fall get out and go days. Jimmy Sangenberger coming up about Tay Anderson, and then the woman running for Aurora City Council. Mostly it's open lines. And this moment that comes down yesterday that I'm reading about, there's a civics contest urging children to write their own national anthems. Tweens and teens to enter their contest entitled Sing Your Own Anthem. And young people are asked to write and perform your own national anthems that represent your values, your visions for your community and your country and your future, urging them to be inclusive. Youth Rising. Remember when Hillary Clinton came out that she was in the Javits Center? And she had been beaten by Donald Trump, and she was telling, again, back then, this was stolen from me. I don't know. The rising is an Irish thing. The rising of the moon, the rising against the British, and so they steal that, and they call it the rising. And she comes out and starts talking about the rising, and it was sad then, and it's sad now. So the Kids in Ship slogan is Youth Rising. And it states on its website, reaching beyond the classroom, merging civic education and creative self-expression and community action. Why would you want sing your anthem? Why? Tell me why. 303-696-1971. What is this part of? All right. Home prices rising and the home equity levels. In fact, data shows the average U.S. homeowner saw their equity increase by $33,000 over the last year. That equity can be accessed through a cash-out refi, and you could seriously improve your overall wealth and need to be at the right lender on your side. And the only mortgage lender I recommend is a family-owned company with salary-based mortgage consultants receive guidance every step of the way. It's a no-pressure experience that focuses on you. No obligation, no upfront, no hidden fees. Plus, you can save $1,000 a month. Lock into a low rate now before they're all gone. Pre-qualify in as little as 10 minutes. They did the job for me and really did a job. It's great. I mean, say, call American today. Save dough. We're going into, I mean, this inflation stories are coming up. Food costs are coming up. Prices of gasoline. Everything's skyrocketing. Saving money, you know, bow, you're going to need it. It's a wise thing. Call American Financing today, 303-695-7000, 303-695-7000. Online, it's AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, regulated by the Division of Real Estate. We've been going in and out of locked up lines, and hit this moment again, lines are wide open. So if you were calling since the show started, got a busy, you can come right into the show right now, 303-696-1971. We're also talking about Tay Anderson, and Jimmy's going to come up and talk about that. But behavior unbecoming of a board member. And the investigation concludes that Tay was intimidating a witness and flirtatious with a 16-year-old girl. The only thing I ask you to do, this goes back into the writing the new national anthem, is if Tay were Anglo, if Tay were white. Tay is on going on down the road kicking rocks right now. But he will not only will survive, rumor has it that Tay Anderson will run for city council. And when you see where Democratic cities have ended up in the hands of borderline nouveau communists, nouveau Marxists. They won't call themselves communists, but they will indeed dance with Marxism. And these are the guys who are in charge. We have plenty of them already. Tay will fit in. Here's the opportunity for the Republican Party. Once again, we've been over this so many times. And Dick Wadhams' column from the day before yesterday, or actually yesterday's, about the GOP must not be consumed by conspiracies and constriction. It's true. You know, let these people who believe the big lies, let them pick candidates, and you're going to get racked. The tragedy, and well, you know, what Larry Elder did in California was mimic Donald Trump. And he got beat. And Joe Biden said, you know, I got to run against the real Donald Trump, and he tied Larry Elder to Donald Trump. Now, what's beginning to happen, and it's very sad to see it, is, oh, the election was stolen from Larry Elder. Please. California is a blue state. And most people didn't think it was going to happen anyhow, but it doesn't matter. And this is the kind of stuff that's going to take the Republican Party and trap it and smack it and put it down, and it won't be able to gain. And this is the one critical time that we must gain. I say collectively, some rational thought must move forward. Stack Optical, and we'll go to the phones. Stack Optical, first of all, open, and masks are optional. But the cool thing that Alan does now is they make it by appointment. And if you want to have an appointment with Stack and Alan Stack, you call 303-321-1578, 303-321-1578, and you make an appointment. Stack Optical is easy to find, South Monaco and Evans, 2233 South Monaco Parkway. And make an appointment 11 o'clock Friday, and you go in the door, 303-321-1578. Whatever you need, and maybe because of the COVID, you have not been around the eye doctor. You need prescription changes, new glasses, just want new glasses, sunglasses, motorcycle glasses, prescription skiers, you name it, and the man can do it. He is my friend, and he knows what he's doing. And on Saturdays, you can get the eye exam for $69. Make that appointment. But if you set up an appointment, 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com, stackoptical.com. Brian, you're on the show. Good morning.
Hey, Pete. I'm one of those unaffiliated that you talk about. And when we talk about unaffiliated, we talk about everybody leans a certain way. So there's no people walking around all neutral in this state. I know that for sure. They've either left each party because each party isn't pleasing them, but they were in a party or leaning towards a party at some point. I lean conservative. I don't have a litmus test. If you run a candidate, I don't care what they believe about the election.
Listen, you may not, and listen to me, you may not, but the people who will select quite possibly do.
Yeah, but who are these people? Because I speak with a lot of people, and I know I'm a small dichotomy.
No, it will be the struggle for power this weekend in Pueblo. And if the people who get to pick, who then get to pick, and this is the part of Dick Wadhams' column that I think you should listen to because it makes sense. Wadhams writes this. Despite the potential of Colorado Republican victories in 2022, a group of self-proclaimed principled Republican activists hell-bent to mire the party in stolen election conspiracy theories, to alienate the 1.6 million unaffiliated voters who represent 43% of the electorate. Now, that wasn't said last night. They just blamed Dick Wadhams. But this is what Dick is saying. It's what I'm saying. And that's the truth.
I get it. And the people that are saying this stuff haven't done a darn thing to advance the Republican Party.
You're right.
So I'm not – why would I believe what's Dick Wadhams?
No, I believe what Dick Wadhams is telling you. What Dick Wadhams is telling you, if these people get their hands on the throttle this weekend, they will pick like-minded people. They will pick – this is what happened in California. The reason that Elder got beat – there's a reason – numbers of reasons Elder got beat.
He never had a chance, Pete. Come on.
It doesn't matter.
It's California.
But once again, Colorado's a blue state, so quit it. You got to come out in the middle. When Gavin Newsom, who, you know, probably might be the next candidate for president for the Democratic Party, but Gavin Newsom and Joe Biden, they ran against Donald Trump again. They made Larry Elder was a Trump advocate, said the same things, and got beat. Now, there's a lesson in that, isn't it?
Probably a very small one.
No, Gavin a very Newsom, big one.
The Democratic Party did a smart thing. They didn't put any Democrats on that ballot. So
listen to me.
If there was Democrats on that ballot, they would have pulled votes from Newsom.
Listen to you, Brian. You're excusing. You're making excuses.
No, I'm not making excuses.
Yes, you are.
Do you want to use California as an example that Larry Elder didn't win? Come on, Pete.
No, I'm using California I'm using California as an example of what Colorado should not do, but if these people get their hands on it, will do. Donald Trump lost Colorado by 14 points. Now, do you want to run a Donald Trump-esque candidate who's going to get beaten or to come up with the kinds of things that are being told about the election and then get beaten or talk about the vaccine and get beaten? Or do you want to stand there and have a puncher's chance?
You can believe everything Donald Trump believes except for the election.
But
and
that,
all those,
my
all
friend,
those policy things, everybody in my neighborhood loves Donald Trump's policy.
Then why didn't Donald Trump win Colorado two times?
Because Colorado, you can't run Donald Trump in Colorado.
Okay. So let's run.
But you can run somebody who believes.
That
in
was
what
the point.
Donald
listen
Trump
to me, Brian.
In.
Brian, stop. It's the point I just made.
But
there's no buts. There's
election.
No there. I you, he lost twice.
He's not. He wasn't running for senator. No.
Listen to me. Don't take it away. He lost twice.
In a national election, you're right.
No, he lost twice in Colorado.
Yeah, you're right.
And
in
so
a national
now,
election,
these people, these
for president.
That's my point. So that's what happened to Larry Elder in California. He was a surrogate for Donald Trump, and they beat him again. Take the last comment.
I am sitting unaffiliated, leaning conservative.
Well.
I don't care what if you bring somebody up that believes whatever they want about the election, mm-hmm. but they're way better than this.
But we're not. We're not
that they're going to run.
But
you,
Brian,
you think I'm going to vote for?
Brian, we're not talking. Brian, listen to me. Brian, listen to me. We're not talking about you. We're talking about the 1.43 million unaffiliated voters, and that's what it takes to win.
I'm one of them.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I mean, I'm unaffiliated.
You may be unaffiliated, but you're pro that position because you've already staked it out. In that case, you're beat. Sorry, but it's true.
I really don't know what to say when you,
no,
want
you
to
don't.
Alienate. You want to alienate a lot of these unaffiliated.
I'm just telling you the truth. The truth is an MF-er. You know it and I know it, but these people don't. Bubba, I got to pause. 18 before the hour. Hang on. It was too quiet, too long. Good morning, Thursday, 6:47, September the 13th. Hank Jr., Bo Cephas, 2021, 93 and high, and 82 tomorrow, a bit cooler. All right. You know, it's interesting when you see and read about California where Newsom's underwater until Larry Elder announces he's coming in. And I like Larry Elder. When Larry Elder comes in, then they put Donald Trump on the ballot. They're running against Donald Trump. And Elder emerges as the leading Republican candidate, and they begin talking about Trumpism is back on the ballot. Newsom is underwater. And not this idea that nobody – why would a Democrat do it? Why would a Democrat challenge? And I don't know how many Republicans or how many challengers there were, but all the Democrats and Republicans – and you look at this thing, and this is a point I'm trying to make here, and then I'll read all the messaging. But – Elder did. Elder stood with Trump and talked about the election being stolen and the rest of the nonsense. And when he gets into the race, then Newsom pulls it out. But Newsom's underwater till Elder gets in. And this is the lesson for Colorado. However, I thought KNUS was a conservative talk station. All these people do is talk about loving Joseph Campbell, atheist professors, General Milley, moderates like Mitt Romney and Cory Gardner, both turncoats. Yeah, I've been a big Cory Gardner supporter. Can't you find conservatives, or has the brain trust gone yellow like Fox News? Now, Fox is being hosted. Oh, I forgot that your host also loved Bob Woodward and the biggest liberal maggot in Washington. Right. America doesn't need a brand of closet liberals running the Republican Party. Traitors. Let Peter Boyle's Dick Wadhams and Bill Thorpe, traitors to America. God, you're an AH. That's another one. Okay. Well, it's this truth factor here. And as these guys go to Pueblo this weekend, and I, you know, it's what? I don't know. Billy, give me a name and we'll take a caller. I'll take one. Just called line one. No, don't take line one. Okay. Oh, okay. We're just having phones are blowing up. Episode 3 of The Shoot today, and MC1 Honor Run on the 26th. It starts at Columbine at 8 o'clock. Jimmy Sangenberger coming up. You know, you have to look at this for what it is. You want to win, and you can't rule unless you win, goes the slogan. We have all of these unaffiliated voters in Colorado, and you have to appeal to something in them. But I like what Dick said, and I know Dick's a traitor and all these terrible things that Dick is, but I'm cool with it. But what Dick wrote, and it wasn't really fleshed out totally in their debate, but despite the potential of Colorado Republican vote victories, and he's right, in 2022, a self-proclaimed principal, and I guess these are the people that principled me, how hell-bent on miring the party and stolen election conspiracy theories. He's right. I suspect that these people that are calling me body parts are principled. There are 1.6 million unaffiliated voters who represent 43% of the electorate. Republican activists hell-bent to mire the party in stolen election conspiracy theories and to alienate them. I add one more thing, the vaccine. Peter, this poor me is getting old. I'm not poor me. The truth is what the truth is. Pick up the phone and call the show. There's a piece this morning in Complete Colorado by Mark Hillman. And the first line of holes is, when you're in a hole, stop digging. A as Republican Party considers to continue allowing unaffiliated voters to participate in the Republican primary election. They consider the hole they're already in with unaffiliateds whose votes are essential in electing our candidates statewide elections. Absolutely. Let's kick these people out. Douglas County, Joe Biden won 65.7% of the ballots cast. That's significant. 2 years ago, Jared Polis won 64.2% of the ballots over Walker Stapleton. That was in El Paso County. Biden won 59.1% of ballots cast by unaffiliated voters in 2020. And by the way, these people in these individual counties who count these votes are Republicans. And if you want to beat your head against the wall and then walk away and said, whatever you say, that's okay with me, but it's not okay for me. Health is wealth, and good health at any age is possible. I'm living proof. Dr. McCallum and her team at Cenogenics offers a different way. You know, it's never about what we say. It's only about what we are. We're traitors, and we're body parts, and we're getting old. And we're not about the truth. And the truth is what the truth is. A personal attacks are like, they're fun to read on the air, but they don't take anything on. And that's why you will lose, and they will lose. Dr. McCallum and her team at Cenogenics offers a separate approach to healthcare, disease prevention, and aging. You can't control how old you are, but you can control how you age. She's my pal. She's my friend. Dr. McCallum and her team can help you get your metabolism, hormones balanced and healthy, create programs designed specifically right for you. So it's you, right? Not for this group, but for you. Focus, become stronger, and feel in control of your life again. Don't suffer with low energy, lack of focus, unintentional weight gain, poor sleep, low libido. One more day. Call Cenogenics. Make the appointment and talk to her. 720-387-3681. You get a free 20-minute phone call. 720-387-3681. The website's denver.cenogenics.com. Pretty simple. Fall is in the air. Get off, you know, get out of the box. Here, 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681. Jimmy Sangenberger on Tate Anderson. And then we'll go back to open lines. 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.